Kazuo-san, can you help with the Nihongo? Scripture reading, Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 28 to 29. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring people for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who were able to understand. All these now joined their fellow Israelites, the nobles, in the bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all the commands, regulations, and decrees of the Lord our Lord.
じゃあ日本語でネヘミヤ記10章の28節29節をお読みします。この他の民、祭司、レビ人、門営、歌い、宮に仕えるしもべたち、また国々の民と縁を立って神の律法についた者全員、その妻、息子、娘たち、すべて理解できるまでになった者は、彼らの親類の優れた人々に頼り、神のしもべモーセを通して与えられた神の律法に従って歩み、私たちの主のすべての命令、その定めと掟を守り行うための呪いと誓いとに加わった。
Good morning again. How are you guys doing? Good, 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 good. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you desire to bless us, that you, who calls us by name, wants the best for us. And Father, we just want to bless your name today for that. We want to worship you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you've done. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about core values. And what I mean about core values is our belief system that dictates our attitudes and behavior. The things we believe that moves us to what we do, what we say, and how we act. And so a lot of times we can understand what our core value is by what we do and what we say and how we act, right? For the most part, those in its rawest form. And for the most part, that doesn't come out until we're squeezed, or the pressure's on, or in a very stressful moment. That's when our true belief system comes out, and we get a glimpse of what our core values are. And I want to talk about core values because it matters. One of the biggest critiques or complaints Jesus had, was against the Pharisees, Sadducees, whom he called hypocrites. They would present themselves in one way, but inwardly, they were everything opposed to God. They presented themselves as people of God, but inwardly, their core values were against God. And so I want to talk about core values. And here in Nehemiah, they establish values. They reestablish their values. They begin to change. They read the law, the book of the law. They noticed their lives didn't match up to what the law said, and so they decided to change their core values. And first slide should say separating ourselves. And I want to emphasize separating ourselves, meaning being in this world, but not of this world, right? Being not going into a Christian bubble. But how do we separate ourselves from the values of this world while being in this world. Rick Warren, he gives an analogy of a fish. He says, it's like being a saltwater fish. A saltwater fish is able to live in salt water, but the salt doesn't permeate its flesh. That's why when you eat a saltwater fish, you need to put salt on it to give it some flavor. Or in Japanese case, we need to put soy sauce on it to give it some flavor, right? But to separate ourselves, to be in of this world and not of it, Nehemiah 10:28 says, the rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, musicians, temple servants, all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, for believers, Christians, our core values are distinctly different than the world. And when I say distinctly different, I don't mean it's completely opposite. There will be places where there's common ground with the world, but if you dig deeper, you'll see the distinct difference. Surface level, it might look very similar, but the Christian core value is different. And the difference you'll find, and the difference I believe, is in our relational aspect with God. The difference between a Christian and a believer's core value is in their relational aspect with Jesus. Now, I'll talk about that a little bit more. It said then all the people separated themselves and they for the sake of the law of God. And I want to talk a little bit about the law of God. Our core values, hopefully, as believers, is established. They are established by our God. Amen? Amen? All right, good. I need some encouraging today. It's with our relationship with Jesus. When it comes to the law of God, though, our relational aspect with the quote-unquote law of God has slightly changed with the coming of Jesus Christ. Our relational aspect with quote-unquote the law of God has slightly changed, or maybe I don't want to say completely changes, but it has changed. And Paul talks about this throughout his letters. Paul wrote numerous letters, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, etc., etc., etc. But in Galatians 3:23, concerning the law of God, he says this. If you have your Bibles, turn that with me real quick. Galatians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament. If you need help, I always use the acronym, I think it's acronym, God Eats Popcorn. God, G, Galatians, Eats, Ephesians, P, Philippians, Corn is Corinthians. No, Colossians, my bad, Colossians. God Eats Popcorn. And those are obviously after the Corinthians. But Galatians 3. In Galatians 3:23, Paul writes this concerning the law, and the Galatians were having trouble with the law, and one of the biggest issue of the law was circumcision. Nothing wrong with circumcision, it's just what they were valuing circumcision for. And here's what Paul continues to say about this issue of the law of God, meaning the Old Testament. He says, before the coming of this faith, meaning faith in Christ, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was put in charge of us until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. I want to start it there. It says, in another version, so the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. And 25, it goes on to say, now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So what's changed? What's changed here? After Christ is revealed, the law of God has become more of a guardian that was meant to be there to keep us safe until Christ came. And now that Christ has come, our faith in Him is sufficient for salvation. Our faith in Christ is how we're saved. Amen. Saved from what you say? Well, saved from sin. Saved from sin. Saved from separation from God. Now, just because the law of God, so what I'm trying to say is this, for us as believers, as Christians, when we look at what Nehemiah and the crew did, you know, they changed their core value for the sake of the law of God, and we must do the same. However, it's slightly different. We're not simply looking at this book and trying to obey everything it does. We are trying to find the author of this book and having a relationship with him and obeying everything he tells us to do. The law was placed as a guardian to reveal Christ, and when Christ came, our faith is in Christ. And Christ will probably say, hey, look at the book. Do what the book does, says. However, you know, our relationship with the law slightly changes. What is that? Amen. That's like, I think that's the Lord. That's the Lord encouraging me. Amen. However, we don't disregard everything our guardian has said, right? We don't disregard everything the guardian says. And this, we're trying to do everything this says. In fact, this, when our relationship with Christ becomes confusing or difficult at times, we always refer back to this. This is not simply a good point of reference. This is God's point of reference. This is where we find out that our faith should be in Christ. We put our faith in Christ because of this. And this is still valuable, the most valuable reading material on this earth. And it has information in here that goes far beyond what we could probably imagine or think. And so we don't disregard this. I'm not saying disregard this by any means. I'm saying this has slightly changed. In that we find the person of the book instead of worshiping a book. We worship the person of the book, not the book. But the book has a lot of good things. And it's a great God's point of reference. For example, you know, for those of you, if you're having any kind of health issues, there was this man named, I don't know all the validity of it, but there's a man named Jordan Rubin who had Crohn's disease at the age of 19. And he started to simply go by what the book said and ate what the book said to eat and stopped eating what the book said not to eat. And he wrote a book called The Maker's Diet. And with it, I guess the claims are, you know, it'll boost your immune system, you'll have abundant energy, improve your physical appearance, reduce stress, and improve digestion, etc., etc. You guys heard of the Maker's Diet before? You've seen it before? Yeah. If you go to bookstores, it was probably on the New York Times number one best New York. Yeah. I don't know. Don't quote me there. Erase that from this. it was a popular book. It, you know, just talks about what the the food regulations in the Old Testament, and he just simply went by that. And he said he claims it healed him from Crohn's disease and created the book of it. So the law of God is important. Our core values should come from there in terms of what the book says. And it's because I want to say our lives should be on what the book says. Not worshiping the book, but on what the book says. And what do I mean by that is this. In John 20, 21, Jesus, after his death and resurrection, meets with the disciples. And he says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, "Here's your core values. Just as I was sent on this earth, so now you are being sent to this world. To be in this world, but not of it." And so our core values, how we act, how we think, what we do, if we are a disciple of Jesus, should very much look like what Jesus did. And so you might ask, well, how did Jesus live? A good place to start is reading the Gospels. But Jesus himself in the Gospel gives us a glimpse of how he lived his life. In John 5:19, Jesus, criticized for his ministry, simply says this to his critics. He says, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because of whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So as the critics start complaining about Jesus' lifestyle, he simply says this, "I did what I did because God the Father was doing the same thing." Jesus again in John 12:47 says, "If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last days." And he says, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." That's John 12:49. And then he goes on to say, "So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." What Jesus did, what he said, his behavior, his attitude, everything he did, he sums up in those two verses, I believe. John 5:19, "I can only do what I see my Father doing. And I can only say what my Father sent me to say." And then Jesus in John 20:21 says, "Just as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you." And he gives us the Holy Spirit. Intentional obedience, because obedience won't come simply, it just doesn't fall in our laps. Obedience comes through hard work, actually. When you begin to try to obey God, you'll definitely feel opposition. In Nehemiah 10:29 it says, "To obey carefully all the commands, regulations, decrees of the Lord our Lord." And I believe intentional obedience I know intentional obedience helps facilitate God's presence on earth. It allows encounter with God in the simply being obedient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If we want to be a people of the book, to do and say what it does, it requires intentionality. It requires us to be careful. It requires us to be faithful. It requires us to be patient. And sometimes it requires us to tone it down. And what do I mean by tone it down? To stop and intentionally ask, Lord, what are you doing right now? Lord, what do you want to do right now? Lord, what is your will for me at this moment? Is there something you want me to do or say? Jesus says, one of his critiques to the religious people is, you have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, or you don't have a heart that understands. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? Do you have a heart that understands? And the answer is yes, we do. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Those are eyes to see. And if you are born again, you have the capacity and potential to see the kingdom of God, to hear what the king is saying, and to have a heart that understands and aligns itself with what the king is doing. Does that make sense? As we align ourselves to hear and do what the king is saying and doing, I believe it will facilitate an encounter that this world deeply needs, that our neighbor needs, that our children needs, that this city needs. Let us pray. Even now, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would reveal where our lives are not aligned with your will. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for the Scripture. We ask, Lord, you would speak to us through Scripture as well. We pray for revelation, Lord Jesus. Even now, Lord, I pray you will touch us here, Lord, who are struggling with anxiety. I pray right now, in Jesus' name, you'll give them peace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.